the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, as we do our prayer about faith, we have begun as usual with that act of faith. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here. You are always with us. And we pray today about the gospel for the 19th Sunday of the year in year A, the storm on the sea. And you were with the apostles, and you are with us. But let us go back to the passage that was read in the previous Sunday. St. Matthew tells us that, Lord, you have just heard about the death of your relative John the Baptist, and obviously you are disturbed by that sad news. And St. Matthew says, Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. You wanted to pray, to reflect on that news. And so you go with the apostles in the boat across the Sea of Galilee to the eastern shore, where there would be fewer people. And then that vast multitude has seen where you were going. They hurry there on foot. They are there before you. And St. Matthew says, as he went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And Lord, always compassion on those who are afflicted, as we are today and we are always in one way or another. You have compassion. You care. You didn't send that multitude away saying, look, we wanted to pray. Can you please leave us alone? No, your love, your charity takes precedence even over your own prayer. And then you multiply the loaves for them and feed the 5,000 men plus women and children, perhaps 10,000 people or more. Your divine heart has compassion not only on their sick whom you healed, but on their hunger for food, their hunger for your word. And you give us criterion in doing that. You are telling us, yes, how important it is to pray, but if someone needs our attention, that will take precedence even over our prayer. And often these two are not in competition with one another, but sometimes they may be. St. Francis of Rome, that married woman, had as her policy that if she was praying and her husband cried out to her for help, she left her prayer to look after her husband. And in a sense, looking after him was her prayer. She was serving him, and Lord, she was serving you in him. Whatever you did to the least of your brethren, you did to me. And St. Vincent de Paul, too, says, if a needy person requires medicine or other help during prayer time, do whatever has to be done with peace of mind. Offer the deed to God as your prayer. Do not become upset or feel guilty because you interrupted your prayer to serve the poor. God is not neglected if you leave him for such service. One of God's works is merely interrupted so that another can be carried out. So when you leave prayer to serve some poor person, remember that this very service is performed for God. And Lord, when those situations come in which we simply cannot pray because we have to look after our family or some other person in need, help us to do that readily, knowing that that deed of service is our prayer in service of you. And we go on. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And now, Lord, you do find that peace, that solace. And as St. Matthew continues, when evening came, he was there alone. Now you can pray in peace and quiet, and again, teaching the lesson of the importance of prayer. When things weighed you down, like the death of John the Baptist, like your impending passion and your prayer in the garden, you prayed. You teach us the importance of prayer and help us always to live it, to seek those quiet times where we too can be recollected in the presence of God. We need that prayer. We get so absorbed in the world. We forget you. We forget God. We forget the supernatural meaning of our life. And in prayer, we come back to it. Help us to find regular times for prayer each day. Prayer gives us such peace, such hope, when perhaps we were getting down in the midst of a difficulty, such joy to be close to you, to know that you are with us. St. Matthew continues, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And Lord, how symbolic this storm, those waves are of the storms of life, the tribulations that we can go through, the difficulties that always seem to be with us. We will always have these storms in one way or another, be it sickness, and now this COVID-19 disease, which has affected so many, and perhaps people close to us, people in our own families, perhaps we ourselves are sick. But you are with us, as we will see. Other illnesses too. Cancer, which sometimes is going to end our life with all of the suffering that accompanies it. Diabetes, kidney failure and the need for dialysis, arthritis and constant pain, and some people seem to have more than their fair share of suffering. These are part of those storms of life. For others, financial worries. They have lost a lot of money. Do they need to sell their house? Do they need to look for a second job? And some people have lost their job and their source of income with which to feed their family. And naturally, they are worried. Others have marriage difficulties. Even after many years of marriage, suddenly difficulties arise or get worse. Will this marriage stay together? We have spent so many years together in life. Our children need us to stay together, even if our children are older and married themselves. They depend so much on the stability of their parents' marriage. Other relationship issues, between brothers and sisters, between parents and children, relationships in the extended family, relationships at work, in the neighborhood, these difficulties that come in so many cases. And then those natural disasters, the floods that can come and inundate our house or our city, the drought that so sorely afflicts farmers and people in the country, and people in the city too, the bushfires, and the list goes on. Lord, there will always be storms in one measure and in one form or another. They are an effect of original sin. We know that. Suffering and death entered the world. The thorns and the thistles would be there in the fields. And we would have suffering and death. They are part of human life here on earth. No one is freed altogether from them. But Lord, you are with us in the midst of those storms. You said that to the apostles when you sent them out. Behold, I am with you all through the days that are coming until the end of the world. I am with you. I have not abandoned you. And now you come to the apostles in the midst of that storm on the sea. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. You come to them. You will not abandon them, as you will not abandon us or anyone who is suffering. You come walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. And Lord, you always come. But this is now, as St. Matthew tells us, the fourth watch of the night. The night was divided into four watches, perhaps some 2 hours each. And now, when the night is practically over, just before dawn, you come. And they might have been wondering, where is Jesus? Why isn't he here with us? Why have we had to wait so long? And Lord, this can happen with us too. We are going through a trial, and we have been begging you, help us, and you don't seem to answer. You don't seem to be there. And we too, like the apostles, wonder, where are you? Why aren't you answering my prayer? But you always come, and you come in your time, not in ours. We want you to come immediately and solve our problem, but you may want us to pray more, to wait longer, so that we will experience patience and learn that virtue. You know what we suffer. You suffered too. You suffered much more than we ever will. You became man and dwelt amongst us. And so you suffered hunger and thirst and cold and heat and rejection. The Pharisees always trying to trap you in your speech. And then finally they apprehend you in the garden after the Last Supper. And that whole terrible passion begins, blindfolding you, striking you in the face, and then mocking you and telling you, prophesy, who was it that struck you? Spitting on you, the scourging. What pain in the scourging, that mockery of a trial. Pilate finding you guilty when he knew you were not guilty, and then sentencing you to crucifixion, the carrying of the cross, the crucifixion, suffering unspeakable, much more than we will ever suffer. You know human suffering. As St. John Paul II writes in his letter, Salvifici Doloris, on the Christian meaning of suffering, Christ entered the world of suffering. You are not looking down from above as someone who was never here. You are here with us. You know human suffering because you suffered it too. and even from heaven, as the head of your mystical body, the Church, you suffer with your body. It could not be otherwise. Even though you are all happy in heaven, you suffer with your mystical body here on earth. You are with us, and help us always to remember that. And now finally, you come in that fourth watch. And when we were wondering, where are you? Why don't you answer my prayers? You may be simply testing us. You may say, that prayer is doing you so much good. You continue praying with faith and perseverance for weeks, for months, perhaps for years. It does us so much good. We are exercising and growing in faith, in perseverance, in trust in you. Prayer sanctifies us even when it is not apparently answered, that is to say, answered in the way that we would like. Our prayers always answered. You are saying, not yet, or not what you are asking, I will give you something else. And even our prayer itself is an answer, because we are drawing closer to you through it. But you come. You always come, as we said, in your time, not in ours. And then the apostles are frightened. They see what looks like a ghost. And of course, you come in the middle of the night, late at night. It is still dark. They see this shadowy figure walking on the waves, and they think it must be a ghost. And naturally, they, like us, were terrified. They cry out for fear. But Lord, your words that put them at ease, take heart, it is I, have no fear. And Lord, in our storms of life, in our trials, let us listen to and meditate on those consoling words. Take heart. Don't be discouraged. Be filled with courage. Take heart. It is I. I am with you. I, Jesus, am in your life. I have not abandoned you. I am with you in this trial. Have no fear. Do not be afraid, even if this trial goes on for some time. I am with you. I will accompany you through it to its end in one way or another. And then Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And Lord, we like Peter, want to do and should do all that we can to solve this problem that we are going through. And the first means, of course, is prayer. To come to you, to beg you to help us. You told us to do that. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. And you say, come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. I will give you rest. And sometimes we are more overburdened than at other times. Come to me, you invite us. And Peter comes to you, and we come to you too in our prayer. But we use the human means at the same time. If we are experiencing sickness, we go to the doctor. We take whatever medication is prescribed. We do whatever doctors recommend. We would be foolish not to do that. If we are experiencing financial difficulties, we perhaps look for another job. We go back to that bank manager who has turned us away in the past, having prayed to go yet one more time. Perhaps this time he will listen to us. If we are experiencing marriage difficulties, we get counseling. We go to a priest. We sit down and talk it over with our spouse. We use all the human and the supernatural means. And then perhaps, like Peter, we will sink too, because we think this isn't reaching where I needed to reach. But Lord, like with Peter, you pull us up. And when we say, Lord, save me, you reached out your hand and caught him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And Lord, may it be that you don't have to say that to us. Why did you doubt? Because we didn't doubt, but we are tempted to doubt. Is there a solution to this problem? Does Jesus hear me? Is he with us in this situation? You are always there, that we do not doubt, that we trust that you are here, that you have not abandoned us, and we keep on praying. Because so often we do doubt, we wonder, perhaps we give up using those human and supernatural means, and in the end, the problem gets solved, and you have to reprimand us and say, why did you doubt, you of little faith? Help us never to doubt that perhaps the miracle can be done. What seems humanly impossible is done, for nothing is impossible for God. Lord, help us to use all the means, human and supernatural, always praying, always trusting, persevering in prayer, assured that whatever your will be done, and your will might not be exactly what we would hope it was. You have another plan for us, and whatever you want is for the best. And so we say with St. Peter in the garden, not my will, but yours be done. If you want me to be longer without a job, I will endure it somehow. If you want us to suffer more in this marriage or other relationship issue, so be it. We will persevere. You are with us. Increase our faith. When you say that, why did you doubt, you of little faith? Increase our faith so that we do not doubt. And we say, with that Father of the Son, after you had cast out the devil, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe that you are always with us, that you are with me in this trial, that you have not abandoned me, that your will be done if I but continue praying with faith. Help me to have more faith. And St. Peter writes in his first letter, unload all your worries on him, that is, on God, since he is looking after you. Lord, help us to come with our worries, perhaps our many worries, and unload them onto you. You want us to do that. Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. You will look after us. You are looking after us, as St. Peter writes, to have more faith. And Lord, you say in the Last Supper in the Gospel of St. John, I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Faith in you. We will have tribulation in the world, as you say, and our life experience shows us that. We have had so many tribulations in the past. we may be going through others now. There will be more in the future. But in those, may we have peace as you invite us and be of good cheer, trusting in you, being cheerful because you are with us. You have overcome the world in its trials and tribulations. And in his first letter, St. John writes, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And Lord, what consolation those words give us. Whatever is born of God, and we are through baptism, overcomes the world, overcomes the difficulties, sees them through. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. But Lord, increase our faith, increase my faith, that I can trust that you are with me, that you have overcome and will overcome these trials. And who is it, St. John continues, that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And Lord, help me to believe. We know you are the Son of God, but truly to believe that. And the Son of God, is all-powerful, is almighty, and all-loving, and all-compassionate, and always with us. And then, when we trust in you, even in the storms of life, which you calm, and let us read those words, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You calm the storm in one way or another. And we too worship you, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God. You can end this trial. You can calm this storm in my life at the present time." We know that you are the Son of God. And going back to the last line that we read of St. John in his first letter, "Who is it that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" We worship you. You are truly the Son of God. Then we overcome the world too, with your help. You overcome the world, these trials, through us and with us. And then that beautiful prayer of St. Teresa of Avila: "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God alone is changeless. Patience gains all things. Who has God wants nothing. God alone suffices. Peace in you." And Lord, increase our faith. Help us to realize you are always with us in the storms of life. You will see us through. And we go to Our Lady, who knew suffering too, especially at Calvary. And she stood there steadfast, suffering, accompanying you. You were with her. She was with you. Mary, help me to realize that in my crosses, you are there as comforter of the afflicted. And Jesus is there always with us, sharing his cross with us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.